Welcome back. We are reconvening this meeting with our item number five, Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee testimony and Commissioner Yamamoto. Oh, I also want to mention that Cindy Deacon-Williams, who was unable to be here today, is now connected with us by phone. So if you hear something coming out of that, that's Cindy, and we'll try to make sure we remember to look for that. Thanks.
Perfect. Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty, members of the Board of Forestry, thank you for allowing me to be here today. For the record, I'm Tillamook County Commissioner David Yamamoto, also Chair of the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. Thank you very much for allowing me this time to address you today with a brief update on issues important to all trust counties. First of all, I would like to thank the Department of Forestry for their efforts to engage and collaborate with the Forest Trust Land Advisory Committee members. Your recognition of the complexity and interdependency of issues such as the Forest Management Plan update, the HCP, carbon sequestration, the science panel report, HCP steering and scoping committees, the Equal Northwest analysis of outcomes study, and many others, along with the fast pace at which these projects are progressing all at once, is concerning to many of us on the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties. With all of this going on, the Forest Trust Land Advisory Committee was asked by the department to present topics of interest to us as meeting topics for the next year are currently being developed. There are many newly elected county commissioners in FTLAC counties, and because some of these counties are being targeted by groups that do not support the aims of the Forest Trust Land counties, we feel strongly that we have an obligation to help trust land commissioners understand the context of the trust lands, the Forest Management Plan update, the HCP, and the ongoing discussion around carbon cap and trade. In this context of collaboration, we proposed adding the following agenda items to future Forest Trust Land Advisory Committee meetings. Number one, we asked to develop and present baseline data that can be used to measure the impacts of proposals around the Forest Management Plan update, HCP, and carbon proposals. We also feel counties need a meaningful way to gauge the impact on revenue for counties, schools, and taxing districts, as well as the impact on family wage jobs. We would need to compare current land allocations and the values derived from them to like data for the proposals being worked on. We would like to be involved to discuss ways to achieve this goal. The assessment presented last fall gave a good overview, but we feel it was short on key metrics. Item number two, develop and present a more complete understanding of how the trust lands impact the social and economic well-being of counties. Revenues generated from trust lands go to counties, schools, and local taxing districts. Knowing how the revenue is distributed, as well as the services it provides, is important for us to understand. We would like to discuss and assist in developing effective means to gather and display this data. In addition, jobs created by harvesting, milling, and transporting forest products are some of the best-paying, fully benefited jobs in trust land counties. Knowing the number of jobs and what percentage of the job base in each county is related to timber production is an important metric for trust counties. We would like to discuss and assist you in developing ways to effectively gather and display this data. I would like to take a brief pause here and discuss two attachments that we included with this packet. The first is a memo from Sean Blanchard, Tillamook County Treasurer. People think that when Tillamook County receives checks from the Department of Forestry, that we're sitting flush with lots of cash. Well, that is unfortunately not the case. When it comes to checks received from the Department of Forestry to our treasurer, Tillamook County keeps right around 25% of all those trust of those Department of Forestry dollars. The rest, three quarters of the money we receive, immediately gets written out in checks to over 20 special districts within Tillamook County. And that list of special districts is here on the first page memo. They include education service districts, Tillamook Bay Community College, the Oregon State University 4-H Extension Service District, the three ports that we have in Tillamook County, the Nehalem Bay Health District, North County Rec District, 911 Emergency Communication Center, three different fire districts within Tillamook County, the Tillamook Transportation District, Tillamook Soil and Water Conservation, and four school districts within Tillamook County. And if you talk to any of these special districts, they will tell you that this money that they receive from the Department of Forestry is vitally important, important to their ongoing operations. So not only are we funding the county general fund, but most of the money goes to these special districts within the counties. And we feel it is imperative that that revenue flow continues. The second piece I would like to discuss with you is this chart that we gave you. And these are updated numbers. And these come from the Oregon Employment Development Department. And these are the average annual wages for the year 2018. And these are brand new. I've just seen these. If you look up in the upper left-hand corner, total private sector average wage jobs in the state of Oregon, that's $52,000 per year. If you move down the column, second from the bottom, and look at Tillamook County, that the same private sector average job in Tillamook County is $37,000 per year. And yet when you look at forest product industry jobs, the next column over, forestry and logging average, again, in Tillamook County, that pays almost $55,000 per year. The next column, wood products manufacturing, that's almost $59,000 per year. And then look at truck transportation, hauling the logs out of the forest down to the mill, and then transporting finished wood products from the mill to market. Again, in Tillamook County, $47,000, almost $500 per year. And the great thing about these three job classifications, these are normally fully benefited jobs, which is extremely important. If you look at the last column, leisure and hospitality industry, I've got people approaching me every day saying, Dave, you need to bring Tillamook County into the 21st century. We're doing very well with tourism. But let's look at tourism hospitality style jobs. Again, in Tillamook County, $22,700 per year. And these hospitality jobs normally are not benefited. So when you look at the social and economic well-being of rural counties like Tillamook County, we rely heavily not only on the money that comes from timber harvest from the Department of Forestry, but it is all the concurrent jobs that we have. These are family wage, fully benefited jobs. And rural counties truly depend on these monies. So I didn't want to take that quick detour and go over these numbers with you. We feel they are extremely important. So getting back to my testimony, item number three, it should be apparent to all that carbon sequestration will continue to be an important issue in natural resource-based management. Trust counties would benefit greatly from a more complete understanding of how carbon credit programs work and how it could be applied to trust lands to achieve the dual goals of revenue to counties and maintaining family wage jobs, as well as providing additional revenue to the Department of Forestry. We would like to discuss how to effectively communicate the program operationally to the commissioners. Trust counties are also interested and would benefit from the development of a methodology to compare the relative value of selling carbon credits to that of timber harvest revenue. Counties are very interested in understanding the complete picture of carbon sequestration as it relates to forest products, encompassing the land, the forest floor, standing timber, as well as carbon released back into the atmosphere during a conflagration style event. And there is one other also, and that is the carbon that is sequestered in manufactured wood products. In addition, the carbon sequestration consequences of transitioning from wood building materials to concrete, steel, glass, or plastic composites need to be explored. I was in Washington, D.C. For the NACO legislative days back in March. And my story to most of the legislators back there was about forest products and how counties rely on revenue from forest products. But when you go back to and look at a Home Depot or a Lowe's, in Washington, D.C., the staffers were all telling me they've done that. And most of the wood products that they see are stamped from Oregon. We are the largest exporter of building materials in the United States. And that's something that we should be extremely proud of. And again, when you decide to move away from forest products-based building materials to others, we need to be able to explore those different consequences of carbon sequestration when we move away from wood products. The fourth item we would like to discuss with the department, of course, is the development and decision-making process for the HCP, which is not well understood by Trust County commissioners. We are interested in knowing about each decision made in the HCP process as it is being made. We also need to understand the interplay between the scoping team and the steering committee, which decisions are made by which teams, and what basis for is for and what the basis is for each decision point. So again, I want to express my gratitude to the Department of Forestry for agreeing to assist the Trust Land Commissioners in gaining a better understanding of these important issues moving forward. Please understand that we have offered to assist you in this endeavor wherever we can. A greater understanding of all these issues will assist us in working collaboratively with the department to find solutions that will benefit the department, the trust counties, and the people of Oregon. So I thank you very much for this opportunity to address you today, and be willing to, more than willing to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Any questions? Right. Commissioner Sullivan, thank you for being here today.
I apologize if I jumped the gun coming up here early, but thank you, Chair Yamamoto, or I should say Commissioner Yamamoto, because we have another chair in the room, right? Hello, my name is Kathleen Sullivan, and I'm a county commissioner from Clatsop County. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. As you know, Clatsop County produces more timber and more revenue than any other state forest county. The Council of Forest Trust Land Counties 2018 annual report to the counties shows that Clatsop produced approximately 36% of all state forest timber volume. This compares to approximately 27% from Tillamook County, the next highest producer. Clatsop County did not join the destructive Linn County lawsuit. We do not believe the greatest permanent value is achieved by promoting timber harvest over all other values. Our citizens and our board support a balanced approach that includes a mix of values. Timber and revenue for government are an essential part of our job base. But so is fishing, wildlife viewing, and tourism. The Clatsop Forest provides drinking water to many residents as well. You have heard from some of those residents regarding a state timber sale directly above their homes on the coast. We do not believe the state should promote timber harvest over drinking water, as the Linn County lawsuit would have you do. We certainly want a strong and conservative management of our water supply resources. The Clatsop leaders also want to encourage a long-term protection of our native fish and wildlife, some of which do not have a clear economic value, but preserving the complex web of life is vital, and we owe that to the future. Clatsop County supports the board's effort to increase financial and conservation outcomes on the forest going forward. Clatsop County is on record in favor of the Habitat Conservation Plan, which I prefer to call a Harvest and Habitat Security Plan, because the purpose of the plan is to provide stability and security in our forest management. What threatens our harvest revenue are lawsuits based on the Endangered Species Act, such as the one currently underway related to coho salmon. extreme approaches that promote timber over all other values not only ignore our commission's call for balance, but they also put our revenue at risk from lawsuits. We need a harvest and habitat security plan. I came to testify today because at times the distinct county, Clatsop County perspective does not seem to come through in the testimony from the FTLAC. We do not receive the testimony far enough in advance in order to comment. Clatsop County's views need to be included. I also came today to remind you that Clatsop County believes that the greatest permanent value of state forests is to provide revenue, recreation, and habitat. Ending in one sad note, the destructive Linn County lawsuit has now cost the department more than $1 million to fight. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Thank you both, commissioners. We do have three folks, members of the public, who have asked to appear today on this topic, and we'll ask you to limit your testimony to not more than 3 minutes. We'll have a light that helps you with that. Roger Niebauer, Lauren Hutnick, and Rihanna Sogdahl. All come up.
Thank you. My name is Roger Niebauer. My wife and I are permanent residents of Clatsop County. We live at 80424 Highway 101 in Arch Cape. We live directly across from the proposed Northland clear cut. We have three concerns about ODF policies: lack of transparency, impact on water, and impact on our environment. I assume that all of you live in homes that you are happy to go to at the end of every day. Imagine if one morning you woke up and discovered that the government had approved and was implementing a plan to bulldoze 77 acres across the street from your home. I imagine you would be really concerned about how this is going to impact your life, and I imagine you'd be very upset that you weren't consulted by the state before they put this plan into action. ODF tells us that notifying us about the Norston clear cut was too difficult, too complicated. If I were an ODF official, I would have spent 30 minutes drafting a letter, one-page letter about this plan, then paying $100 to a high school student in Cannon Beach to post the letter at City Hall in Cannon Beach and in Arch Cape, and to deliver it to the door of each of the 20 families impacted by the clear cut. Mission accomplished. The fact that ODF made absolutely no common sense effort to communicate the plan in advance indicates to me, or sort of gives me the impression, the feeling, the perception that ODF is trying to sneak this plan through without public comment. Second, the impact on water. After I heard about this plan, I talked to other people and read a little bit about the history of clear cuts in the state of Oregon. And I read story after story of water that stream sources that were redirected, destroyed, or polluted. And I've talked to people in Wheeler whose water supply was polluted by spraying a poison on the clear cut above their city, above their town. Every time I drive Highway 26 to Portland, I see people lined up filling jugs of water. Clearly, clean water is a precious and vital necessity for Oregon residents, especially Oregon West Coast residents. I think it is a shame that the government of the state is in the business of making this scarcity greater. Finally, I recently read an article in the Oregonian pointing out that the way to solve the global warming problem, one of the best ways to solve it is by planting trees. Old growth forests protect and store carbon. I'm the executive director of an NGO, a global NGO that works with people around the world in 150 countries, and we're talking to them about getting the children in their countries to plant trees to protect their environment. And then it's embarrassing for me to find out that our own government is destroying trees at a faster rate than we can plant them. Right. Thank you for listening to my concerns.
Lauren Hutnick? Sir. Just hit the button green, yeah.
Lauren Hutnick, Eagle Creek, Oregon, Clackamas County. Currently, I'm the director of Timber Unity 501c4, and also I'm the president of H&H Excavation, or H&H Heavy Haul, two log trucks, one little bit. A little background about myself as I hail from California. And I have seen Oregon produce themselves and trying to be a carbon copy of California. I have seen California stop logging. I have seen forest fires down there. And excuse my language, I've seen hell. Oregon cannot allow that. We have too much to gain instead of the negatives. I want clean water. The initiative on the coho salmon has a lot of holes in it. I have been involved in a lot of logging in 3 years that I've been in the state, and I've seen such a elegant way that these logs are harvested, and it's not dirty. Before a clear cut or a thinning project happens, ODF puts a lot of restrictions in to keeping the silt down to a bare minimum. And I don't see the silt or landslides or anything going into tributaries that goes into. What I do see is abuse of cities allowing toxins going into the rivers. That's what I do see. As for the cap and trade, please keep in mind, I was part of that group that stopped cap and trade. Cap and trade, if I have my way, will not happen in the state of Oregon. Oregon does not need it. It's a slush fund. California has made it very clear it is their slush fund. You don't need to bring cap and trade into the logging industry and shut down our logs or our livelihood for an agenda that is idolizing Agenda 21. The other thing here is this cap and trade falls right on top of our heads in the general public. And I'm asking you guys to look around it, because I am going to be in the front of that spear to remove cap and trade from Portland or from Salem. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be getting upset, but I watched California go down very fast because of the California Air Resource Board. Oregon has lived how many years without cap and trade? We don't need it now. So please don't look at it as a cash cow, because it's not going to happen. This legislature and the supermajority is going to change soon. And you can be on the positive side or the negative side of it. And I'm asking you guys to be very careful on how you make these decisions. This time I'll close my argument.
Thank you. And Brianna Sogdahl.
Hi. Chair, board, thank you so much. My name is Brianna Sagdahl, and I'm working on the Timber Unity 501c4 with education and outreach to the general public. Our board believes in conservation, and we agree on issues like aerial spraying and herbicides, pesticides, should be a practice that is addressed, and the water needs to be tested for residue. We agree with things like that. We would also like to address the buffer that is in the agenda item number 6 for the coho. wondering if there are any scientific studies or any type of proof that shows that there's the difference in the buffer between 50 feet to 100 feet or 200 feet. I wasn't able to find anything, and I'm just, you know, hoping that there is unbiased scientific evidence that would show there's a significant, there would be a significant result in that buffer zone, because I think we can all agree that a buffer is also very important. We also have concerns about private use versus federally owned timberland, and think that it is a bit of, this petition feels like a bit of an overreach on publicly owned lands. And, you know, I understand that the spotted owl is a very contentious issue. I would also like to address the fact that the spotted owl is adapting. It is breeding with the barred owl. The numbers are on the rise. And after the spotted owl incident, the economy really tanked in the gorge area. Many people lost their jobs. Schools lost their funding. We are at another deficit in our general fund of $26 billion. And I would encourage you to maybe ask for a study before we implement a petition that has such far-reaching economic implications for so many. And thank you. That's it. Thank you.